Exodus chapter 12. I'll read that third verse. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. God, the Lord, spake unto Moses, and he said, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." Now, all of you are familiar with this particular passage here and what precedes this particular verse, that the children of Israel were down in Egypt and were slaves to Pharaoh. And God raised up Moses as their deliverer. And Moses, in that sense, is a type of the Lord Jesus, the great deliverer. And God has one way that he appoints to deliver his people. This one way. And this was God's appointed means of salvation in a night of destruction. Every man take a lamb. And he goes on to tell us that the flesh of the lamb was to be eaten. They were to feed upon the flesh of the lamb in their huts. And they were to take the blood of the lamb and put that on their doorposts. And when the death angel came over, and he seen this sign or this token of blood on the lintels and the doorposts of the houses or the huts in which the Israelites were in, the death angel would pass over that house. That was the appointed means of God's deliverance or God's salvation. That was the appointed means. And in his appointed means, there is a display of the sovereignty of God and the obedience of faith. And I trust that the Lord will enable us here this evening to bow to the one that's the sovereignty of God and learn more and more of the other, which is the obedience of faith. First off, I want you to consider the severity or see the sovereignty of God in the severity upon the enemies of God, who were the Egyptians. And then I want you to see the goodness of God to his people, the Israelites. Now, he destroyed the firstborn of all the Egyptians. How many Egyptians he killed that night, I don't know. But I do know Egypt was a great nation and a large nation. And they had a lot of firstborn children in that nation. And when God passed over that night, that death angel, when he passed over, and there was no signs or token upon the doors of those Egyptians. He slew the firstborn of all those in the land. He destroyed the firstborn of all the Egyptians, and he preserved every one of the firstborn of the children of Israel. So we see here the sovereignty of God. And I read to you from that psalm that God does as he pleases in the heaven, in the earth, and in the seas. That's the sovereignty of God. He's in charge. He runs this show. He's in control. He controls all things. He's the maker of all things, creator of all things, sustainer of all things. Our Lord, He's a sovereign God. He cannot be manipulated. And He's appointed one way of salvation. He appointed one way in type here in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus for the firstborn of the Israelites to be secured and safe and saved from destruction. One way. Destroyed the firstborn of Egypt, preserved everyone of the other. And this, if you don't remember anything else that I say, remember this. This was, in a way, appointed by His sovereign mercy. He did it. It was His plan. He conceived this idea. God and God alone. He took no one in to counsel Him. He did it alone. So this was, in a way, appointed to and appointed by God Himself and His sovereign mercy. And let me add to that by saying that there is no mercy from God to any sinner, but in the way God has appointed. No mercy from God to any sinner, but in the way He appoints. And this way was in a lamb. Let every man take a lamb. And that lamb is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as a lamb at least 30 times, and other times in the Bible. But the particular one that I call your attention to, it's when John the Baptist, that great prophet of God, when he came as a forerunner to Christ, he announced to this great crowd that gathered there at the river while he was baptized. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That's God's appointed way to take away the sin of the world. That's God's appointed way to take our sins away in the person of that Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. That's what John cried. There's a Lamb. And here he says that every man, they shall take to them every man a lamb. His flesh was to be their food, and his blood was to be their salvation. You might ask, would not taking the flesh and blood of any other creature answer the same end? That is, couldn't you have taken a heifer or a turtle dove or some other animal, caught that animal up and drained the blood from his body and put that on the doorpost? Would that not work? No, it would not answer the same end. And if anyone attempted to do so, it was a direct act of unbelief of the Word of God and certainly disobedience to the will of God. And those that would attempt such mockery as that would be under swift destruction. So we see here the obedience of faith. Not one Israelite was destroyed. All the children, the firstborn of the Egyptians, were destroyed. Not one of the Israelites were destroyed. Why? Because they believed the word of God spoken to Moses. They believed the word of God and they obeyed the word of God. God has one appointed way for the safety of the firstborn of the children of Israel. And that was for every man to take a lamb and kill the lamb and catch the blood in a basin and paint it on the doorpost. And he said, when I pass over and see the blood, I will pass over you. God's appointed way. He has no other way. He will not show mercy to any sinner now or in the world to come apart from His appointed way. You cannot gain favor with God any other way. Only by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the blessed Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, but was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now they did not dare to reply against God and say, well, why are you doing this? Is it just? Is this justice to destroy so many souls of the Egyptians in one night? Why not give them a chance of salvation? Oh, my soul, the power of true faith kills such arrogant questions as that. The power of faith, obedient faith, to believe God and to trust the Word of God and to trust in the blood of the Lamb. This power of faith brings peace to the conscience and brings love to the heart and certainly takes away all arguments. It feeds on the flesh and trusts alone in the blood of the Lamb who taketh away the sin of the believer. This is God's appointed way. God says, take this lamb as my free gift to you for your whole, complete, and perfect salvation. Now I want you to turn with me from this 12th chapter over to the first chapter of the book of Mark. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Turn to the first chapter of Mark. And I'll read to you verses 40, 41, and 42. And it says here that there came a leper to him, to the Lord Jesus, beseeching him, begging him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This leper. This leper's faith, obedient faith. This leper's faith was strong enough to make him believe that he could be healed of this hideous and terrible disease. This leper's faith, true faith. Without faith, a man cannot please God. Faith is a gift of God. Repentance is a gift of God. The leper's faith here was strong enough to make him believe that the Lord Jesus Christ could heal him of this horrible, terrible disease. He was a leper. And if a man's a leper, his hair falls out from his head. He loses his hair. He loses his eyebrows. They fall out. The nails on his fingers and on his toes decay and rotten and fall away. And the flesh begins to fall away from the bones. The gums of his mouth disappear. They dissipate. His teeth fall out. And his nose and his eyes and his tongue slowly are consumed by this terrible, terrible disease. The disease turns a man into a mass of corruption. This leper here that had this leprosy, real leprosy, this leper before us had this experience. He was like that. He was so dreadful and so full of rottenness that the stench and decay of his dying flesh, and it was so contagious that he was asked not to come into town where healthy people live, but to stay out on the outskirts of town where they burn their trash. Stay out there. And if he could find him some tar paper shack that he might shelter himself from the weather and the storms, it's all right to build that. But if anyone come near him, he must put his hand over his mouth and cry in a muffled tone the best way he could, with no teeth, no lips, unclean, unclean, unclean. And those that heard the warning would steer clear of him. He had this experience of real leprosy. Yet, in spite of that, in spite of his condition and situation, he believed that the Lord Jesus Christ would heal. There was no case of a man being cured of real leprosy by any medical means or surgical treatment at this particular time. And this is what makes the cure of Naaman. You remember Naaman, the Syrian? The Lord told him to go into the River Jordan, or Elijah the prophet, told him to go to the River Jordan and dip in it three times. And that proud Syrian refused, was haughty, and walked his way. But finally, he submitted to it. It was God's appointed way. He would be a leper till the day he died if he had not trusted in God's appointed way. He began to reason with himself, say, in this muddy Jordan River, why, my, we've got real clean mountain water in Syria. Why should I go to... And that servant of Naaman prevailed upon him, and he obeyed. And the Bible says that his flesh was like a baby's when he come up out of that water. So there was no medical means or surgical treatments up until this point, apart from the case of Naaman, which makes it very noticeable in the Bible. Many lepers in Israel and in Syria at that time, but God only healed one of them. That's His sovereignty. That's sovereign mercy. God does what He wants to. You cannot make no proposition to God and say, well, I'll do this, therefore you have to do that. God cannot be bargained with. He has appointed one way whereby a man might gain his favor, and that's in this Lamb, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Our Lord, up to this point, and in this chapter, in this first chapter, I believe it says, they went unto Capernaum in verse 21, and straightway on the Sabbath day, our Lord entered into the synagogue and He taught. And they were astonished at His doctrine. They were amazed at His teachings. For He taught them as one that had authority. It was evidenced in what He said, and in the manner in which He said it. They said, this man's got authority. Not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, had an evil spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Isn't that strange that an evil spirit knew who he was? But the good so-called people of Israel, the scribes and the Pharisees, didn't know who he was. But the unclean spirit knew who this Jesus was. He said, what do we have to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? They recognized His power and His authority. They knew who He was. Have you come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art. An evil spirit said this. I know who you are. Thou art the Holy One of God. Oh, I would to God that all of us would have that understanding of who He is, the Holy One of God. And when the unclean spirit had torn this man, hurt him, he cried with a loud voice, and he came out of him. Our Lord had dealings with unclean spirits, and He made him leave. He had dealings with him, but He had no dealings at this time with leprosy. He hadn't been confronted yet with a man that had real leprosy. But he had been confronted with evil spirits, and he was the conqueror and the victor there. And they were amazed, these people, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this?" I've been places when I preached on the sovereignty of God and the doctrine of election, and someone invariably gets the word out that that's a new doctrine. I've never heard that before. It must be a new doctrine. No, it's as old as eternity. Before the foundation of the world, God chose unto Himself some of Adam's fallen race. Now listen. What is this thing? New doctrine? "For with authority," they said, "commandeth He even unclean spirits, and they do obey Him." And immediately His fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, that is, Simon Peter, and Andrew with James and John, and Peter's wife's mother. Simon Peter's mother-in-law lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of different diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered the devils not to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they found him, they said unto him, "All men seek for thee." And he said unto them, "Let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also. Therefore came I forth." This is the reason I come. That's my business. And he preached in their synagogue throughout all Galilee, and he cast out devils. And then there came a leper. He had cast out devils, cured the fevers. But now he's confronted with the man with leprosy. Confronted face to face. This man, this leper man, this man that was rotten to the core with pollution and corruption, this man, this leper, putting this and that together, bits and pieces of that which he'd heard, and he had some understanding, something of the nature and the character of the Lord Jesus. Maybe he overheard some things that were said prior to this, that they said that the evil spirit said, "We know who you are, the Holy One of God." He just had some bits and pieces and he put them together, and he believed that this one here, this man here, could cure him of this horrible disease. That's great faith, isn't it? Huh? Well, you see, it's one thing to trust the doctor when you're well, when you're not sick, when it's your scheduled time to go to the doctor. You have an appointment every 3 months. June 1st is my appointment to the doctor. but you're well, you feel good, you're just going for a checkup. You can trust the doctor when you're well. But it's another thing to trust the doctor and confide in the doctor when your body is rotting away. When the cancer has ate out your liver, when the cancer is starting to work on your lungs, that's another thing for you to trust in the doctor, you see. For a real conscious sinner. I mean a sinner that knows he's a sinner. I don't mean a play-like sinner. I don't mean one who says, well, I'm not as bad as the other fellow. He's done some things that I haven't done. I don't necessarily think I'm that bad. He's playing play like a sinner. I'm talking about a sinner who knows he's a sinner, whose conscience is pierced and stabbed, who is conscious of his vileness, consciousness of his sins, consciousness of his Savior, conscious. Not a real sinner. You see, for a real conscious sinner, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ is no easy thing. It's not easy. Why? I'll tell you why. Because most people feel like that there is some good in them that they might trade off that goodness in them for favor with God. Oh no. But to be conscious of our total ruin, as this man was. He was conscious of the rottenness of his body. He was conscious that there was no help for him nowhere, but his only hope that he had was in this man. And this man, he didn't know it at the time, but this man is God's appointed way of cleansing and salvation. No other way. Man's got to be confronted with the Lord Jesus Christ here in time, or face him face to face at the judgment. There's no getting out from under that. You got to do business with Almighty God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've got to do business with Him here in time, or you'll do business with Him in eternity when it's too late. That's what I'm saying. Huh? Oh, to trust Him, to save Him and to cleanse Him. And for a real conscious sinner to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save him while he's still defiled with sin, I'll tell you, that's saving faith for a man to do that. This man was full of leprosy. He had as much poison in him as one poor body could hold. Couldn't get any more poison. Flesh had already dropped off of his fingers. His face was deformed. Couldn't look upon him. Had a big cloth that he wrapped around his head, and he put it over his face so people couldn't see him. And his muffled cries went through that infected, crusted, polluted cloth that was on his mouth. Leper, leper, stay away, stay away. Yet, though he had this corruption and poison in him, as one poor, hopeless, helpless sinner could have, yet he believed that Jesus could cleanse him. That's something in him. He believed it. I wish I could find some sinners to believe what I'm saying. They don't believe what I'm saying. It's never, the message has never been drove home to their conscience. If it's ever drove home to their conscience and they see themselves as they are, dried up, polluted and corrupted, not one thing in them that's worthy of the least attention of God. Not anything that they can bring to gain favor with God. They've got nothing. Their righteousness is as filthy rags. And the only thing they can do is fall down before God and say, God, have mercy on my soul. Ah, listen. He is full of leprosy, yet he believed that Jesus would save. And I believe, brethren, it was just this quick. Just this quick. Let me see what it says. And Jesus moved with compassion. Compassion in his heart. Seeing that poor fellow. He was moved by what he seen. He is moved by what he said. He is moved with compassion. And our Lord put forth his hand and he touched him. You couldn't touch a leper. Our Lord. Our Lord put his clean hand upon that rotten flesh. And what happened? Put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will. Remember he said up here in the line up above in verse 40, the leper, this is what the leper said. He said, if thou wilt, that is, if you will. He didn't strike a bargain with him and say, you have to. He said, if you will, thou canst make me clean. And our Lord said, I will. Be thou clean. Happened that quick. In a moment, in a second, he's clean. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was dead, but now I'm alive. Happened that quick. You see, in a second, our God can impart a new life and start a new character in a poor, helpless, hopeless, doomed, damned sinner. Just that quick. Be thou clean. I will, he said. That quick. New life, new character. This old leper wanted that rottenness, which had eaten up his body, to be gone. And he wanted his health to be restored. And he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You know what he meant when he said that? He was saying, I know that you're the sovereign King of Kings. I know all power and authority is yours. I know that you can kill and make alive. I know that you have the right to distribute these great favors as you please. I know you have that right. I have no claim on thee. That's what he's saying. I don't say that you're bound to help me. You're not bound to do anything for me. But if thou wilt, I appeal to your pity. I appeal to your mercy. I appeal to your favor. You can if you will. He said, I will. I will. God is clean. Want to be clean. Not just his leprosy gone, but he wanted to have a clean mind, a clean body, and a clean soul. He wanted to have a clean slate. And when a man comes as he is, as a poor sinner, no hope in himself, given up on himself, laying hold of the Lord Jesus, the Lord clothes him in his righteousness. He puts on his wedding garment, and he's fit to be a guest at the king's table. The Lord has made him clean. This man had never read this verse of Scripture that I'll quote to you. It says, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. He never read that Scripture because that Scripture had not been written at that time. Yet, he understood the spirit and the truth of that Scripture. It's not of him that willeth or him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. I hope you see